is KFIZ Radio and First Presbyterian Church in Fond du Lac. We are glad to join together in this time of prayer and devotion.
This morning, the Old Testament lesson comes from Joshua chapter 5, verses 9 through 12. The Lord said to Joshua, "Today I've rolled away from you the disgrace of Egypt." And so that place is called Gilgal to this day. While the Israelites were encamped in Gilgal, they kept the Passover in the evening on the 14th day of the month in the plains of Jericho. On the day after Passover, on that very day, they ate the produce of the land, unleavened cakes and parched grain. The manna ceased on that day. They ate the produce of the land, and the Israelites no longer had manna. They ate the crops of the land of Canaan that year. Our epistle lesson is from 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 16 to 21. From now on, therefore, we regard no one from a human point of view. Even though we once knew Christ from a human point of view, we know him no longer in that way. So, if anyone is in Christ, there is a new creation. Everything old has passed away. See, everything has become new. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting the message of reconciliation to us. So we are ambassadors for Christ, since God is making his appeal through us. We entreat you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. For our sake he made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God.
Thank you, Kathy. Our gospel lesson this morning comes to us from the Gospel of Luke, from the 15th chapter. This will be a familiar text to many of you, I'm sure, but listen to it now, perhaps with fresh ears and new understanding. From Luke chapter 15, verses 1 and 2, and then 11 through 32. Now all the tax collectors and sinners were coming near to listen to Jesus. And the Pharisees and the scribes were grumbling and saying, "This fellow welcomes sinners and eats with them." Then Jesus said, "There was a man who had two sons. The younger of them said to his father, 'Father, give me the share of the property that will belong to me.' So he divided his property between them. A few days later, the younger son gathered all he had and traveled to a distant country. And there he squandered his property in dissolute living. When he had spent everything, a severe famine took place throughout the country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to one of the citizens of that country, who sent him to his fields to feed the pigs. He would gladly have filled himself with the pods that the pigs were eating, and no one gave him anything. But when he came to himself, he said, 'How many of my father's hired hands have bread enough and to spare? But here I am, dying of hunger. I will get up and go to my father, and I will say to him, "Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Treat me like one of your hired hands.' So he set off and went to his father. But while he was still far off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion. He ran and put his arms around him and kissed him. Then the son said to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son.' But the father said to his slaves, 'Quickly, bring out a robe, the best one, and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. and get the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to celebrate. Now his elder son was in the field, and when he came up and approached the house, he heard music and dancing. He called one of the slaves and asked what was going on. He replied, "Your brother has come, and your father has killed the fatted calf, because he has got him back safe and sound." Then he became angry and refused to go in. His father came out and began to plead with him. But he answered his father, "Listen, for all these years I have been working like a slave for you, and I have never disobeyed your command. Yet you have never given me even a young goat so that I might celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours came back, who has devoured your property with prostitutes, you killed the fatted calf for him." Then the father said to him, "Son, you are always with me, and all that is mine is yours. But we had to celebrate and rejoice, because this brother of yours was dead and has come to life. He was lost and has been found." My beloved, this is the good news of the Lord for us this day. Thanks be to God. Testament lesson this morning that Kathy read for us. It's a wonderful day for the Israelites. The horrors of their slavery in Egypt are behind them. Their 40 years of wandering in the wilderness are over. They are in the promised land. They are where they are supposed to be. And nothing says permanence like eating the food of this new land. It's clear God is with us. No more manna, no more quail, from now on, it's real, grown in the ground, made it ourselves food. But that means no more food falling out of the sky. Now we have to dig the ground, plant the crops, harvest. Grapes have to be stomped. Olives have to be pressed. Grain has to be winnowed and ground into flour and baked into bread. Do you suppose anyone said, "Wait a minute, this is a lot of work. I'm not sure I like this new land. I'm not sure I want this new future. The past was normal, but this is just weird. I think I prefer the wilderness. I think I prefer going back to the past." Does that sound familiar, perhaps? Has that ever happened to you? You moved into a new stage of life. You know it's the right thing to do. You know God is with you. But man, this is hard. I prefer the past. Have you ever felt that way? My first duty station when I was in the Army was Fort Dix, New Jersey. And let me tell you, I had culture shock. I mean, serious, serious culture shock. I had traveled. I had lived in different places. I knew about adapting to new cultures. Plus, I was excited about the Army. I was excited about this new part of my life. I couldn't wait for it to happen. But somehow, between adjusting to the Army and adjusting to New Jersey, I went into a serious funk. I mean, I was down emotionally, spiritually, every which way. Life was hard and I wanted out. I wanted to go back to the past where life was normal and I knew what to do. Do you know that feeling? New job, new baby, first year of being married. It's like, I know this is the right thing to do, but I am really struggling here. Can I go back to what I know, to what's normal? I think that's how many of us feel when we start seriously walking with Jesus, when we begin fully embracing the life of the cross. We know we should see people differently, not as sinful human beings. We know that we are supposed to see them as beloved and forgiven, as children of God. There's this new creation. The old has passed away. We know we are to be ambassadors of this good news by what we say and how we live. But it's a big change, and it's hard. I get that. I do. And I understand when we choose not to. I understand about backing away from Jesus, backing away from the cross, going back to the way things used to be. This is the crisis of the cross, and we all have to face it. Will we embrace the cross and see each other as new creations, reconciled to God? Or will we keep on as we were, seeing others from a human point of view, holding their sins against them? Are we going to embrace the life of the cross, or are we going to push it away and go back to what was normal? This is the crisis that the prodigal son is facing. Is he going to follow his dad, or is he going to follow his instincts? Or perhaps, is he going to follow his anger? Is he going to see his brother in a new way, or is he going to stick to the past? Like I said, many of you, I'm sure, know the story well. A man has two sons. The younger son can't wait to inherit, and so he asks his father for his share of the inheritance. And of course, like today, this would have been considered extremely rude back then. It's like saying, I am tired of waiting for you to die. Can I have my money now? No, this is rude. The father, for whatever reason, does it. He divides the inheritance and gives the younger brother his share. The younger brother then goes away and squanders his money in dissolute living. But then, when the younger son hits rock bottom, he changes. He realizes what he's done. He's no longer the arrogant kid in a hurry. He's a grown man who knows he's made a serious mistake. The rude, headstrong, irrational person is gone, and he has become a new person. He is a new creation. And it is that new person, that new creation, who goes home to his father. But the older son won't hear it. In fact, the older son won't hear anything. He won't even go in and talk to his brother. Understand, the older brother is in the right. Okay? He's the good son. He's the one who has done what he was supposed to do. But now he has to decide. Is he going to cling to his anger and resentment? Or is he going to see his brother as the father does? A new man, forgiven. Is he going to see him as Paul tells us we are to see others? Or is he going to reject the life of the cross? Is he going to move into the future? Or is he going to stay in the past? Sometimes we struggle with it. We all do. Do we stay outside with the older brother? Or do we go inside and enjoy the party? Do we stay in the promised land or go back to the wilderness? Do we stay with the old or become new? We as churches do it. We as individuals do it. Do we hang on to the past or do we grab onto the new? I was thinking about this the other day. And an old song came into my head, and I thought that it was by Jimmy Buffett, but I guess Jimmy Buffett only covered it. I did a little research and found it was a song that was originally sung by the Bellamy Brothers. I'm waiting for the eyes to light up and the heads to nod. Thank you, thank you. It's not just me. Yes, the Bellamy Brothers. I'm sure some of you know them. They were a country pop duo that was very popular in the 70s and 80s. If I sang some of their songs, you would probably know them. Would you like me to? Would you like me to? Sorry, not today. One of their hits was a song called Old Hippie. And I have lost track of my slides, what I'm doing, haven't I? Yes. I don't know what I'm doing. Never mind that. One of their songs was a song called Old Hippie. And they've remade it a number of times. It seems like every other decade they remake it. But I prefer the original from 1985. And it's about a man who's at a crossroads in his life. He's getting too old for the hippie lifestyle. But can he let it go? Can he embrace his new life circumstances and live well in them? He knows the hippie lifestyle. He's comfortable there. It's normal for him. The future is unknown. It's scary. What should he do? Part of the refrain goes, he's an old hippie and he don't know what to do. Should he hang on to the old? Or should he grab on to the new? Should he hang on to the old? Or should he grab on to the new? Should he hang on to the old? Should he do what he knows? Should he do what's normal for him? Should he look at people the way he always has and think about them the way he always has? Or should he let that go and grab on to the new? This is the moment we all come to. This is the crisis of the cross. What will we do? Will we hang on to the old or grab on to the new? As individuals, we cling to the old hurts and the old grievances. Will we stay outside with the older brother, refusing to see the new person our Heavenly Father has forgiven and freed? Will we refuse to see the new creation, the old having passed away? Or will we embrace the cross and see each other no longer from a human point of view, but through the eyes of Jesus? Will we see the new creation God wants us all to be? As a church, will we stay in the wilderness where it's comfortable, where we know what to do, where we know how to do the things we've always done and we know what normal means? Or are we going to step out in faith, trusting God is with us, and learn to thrive in ministry in the post-COVID era? I don't know what to say. I don't know what to tell you. But I do know this. I do know this. I know that normal is never coming back. Normal is never coming back. What used to be normal is never coming back. What was normal before is never coming back. But Jesus is. Thanks be to God. Amen.
Thank you for joining with us in this time of prayer and devotion. We are First Presbyterian Church of Finalac. We are Christians serving, learning, and loving. You can find us on the web at www.fdlpresbyterian.org. We are located at 1225 4th Street, and we have in-person worship at 9 a.m.